So the readings for Trinity Sunday. The epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Oh, the depth of the riches, of the wisdom, and of the knowledge of God. How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and recompense shall be made? For of him, and by him, and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. Come, let us adore the true God, one in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, indeed today is a day of faith and of adoration. We contemplate today one of the most sublime truths, the most fundamental truth to our faith, and that is the Holy Trinity. Yes, this one God, having one divine nature, and yet three in person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three persons alike and equal in all things, with the exception of their respective properties. The Father, he is unbegotten. He comes from no other person. The Son, he is begotten of the Father from all eternity, and the Holy Ghost, he proceeds from both. This is the mystery of the Trinity. The first, the second, the third persons of the Trinity, they're given these names, but we are not to understand that there is a first in time or in precedence. No, this would be impious, as the fathers of the church point out. No, they are co-eternal. One doesn't precede the other in time. The Father is eternal. The Son proceeds from the Father eternally, and the Holy Ghost proceeds from both eternally. And they are also equal. The Father is not greater in power than the Son, and the Father and the Son aren't greater in power than the Holy Ghost. All are infinite in power. They are almighty. They are all-knowing. They are all immense, all loving, all good, all just. All of these perfections of God are said of each of the three persons of the Trinity equally. What a sublime mystery, and one that certainly takes faith. We cannot grasp this mystery. Our little human minds. Perhaps you know well the story of St. Augustine, who is grappling with this mystery, walking on the shores of the ocean. He was trying to comprehend the mystery of the Trinity. And suddenly he came across a little boy who was digging a little hole in the sand and taking scoops of water and putting it into this hole. And St. Augustine asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm trying to fit the entire ocean in this little hole." He said, "Well, that's foolish." And the boy said, "Well, that's what you're trying to do by trying to understand the Trinity." And the boy disappeared. Yes, our little minds can't comprehend the Trinity. It is a mystery of faith. And yet we know there's nothing unreasonable in it. It's not contrary to reason. It's just not within the grasp of human reason. If we were to be able to understand the Trinity, we would be God himself. Only God knows himself as he is in himself. Yes, we can't even comprehend our own person. We don't know ourselves. We don't know intimately who we are. We're constantly discovering new things about ourselves. So how could we pretend to know God? No, it is a mystery. We must fall on our knees in faith and then in adoration. It is a day of adoration. This divine reality should bring us to our knees. We have to adore, as we see in the liturgy today, so many doxologies, as they're called, so many of these praises of the Blessed Trinity. That should fill our soul today. Recognizing God's majesty and his greatness and our own littleness, how we pale in comparison. This was an idea that was dear to the Archbishop, Archbishop Lefebvre. He constantly came back to this, the majesty of God and our own nothingness. And this is a spirit of adoration, a spirit which is so missing from today's world. Yes, we are all so self-absorbed, and it prevents us from adoring God as he ought to be. In one of the letters to friends and benefactors, the rector of the seminary in Virginia, he wrote about narcissism. Certainly, we don't have the psychological sickness of narcissism, and yet all of us are more or less affected by this self-absorption. The story of Narcissus, he's part of Greek mythology, this young man who was handsome, so handsome, in fact, that he went to a little lake, and he looked at his own reflection and he fell in love with himself. And he sat there contemplating his own beauty until he withered away. And he ended up dying saying, "Oh, beautiful youth, I have loved you in vain." Yes, this is an image of all of us. We are so self-centered. We are so concerned about me. How does this affect me? How does this please me? How does this displease me? How can I be more comfortable? How can I seek this pleasure? What does this make me look like in front of other people? It's all about me. We are like Narcissus, looking in this pool at ourselves, loving our own beauty, loving our own comfort and our own pleasure, totally self-absorbed. And sometimes this is in gross and exaggerated ways, but often it's very subtle, and we do it even when we come to pray. As I've mentioned many times before, we kneel in the chapel, and it's all about self. And that is not the spirit of the liturgy. If you look in the liturgy, the very first thing that's always done when the church begins to pray is to adore God, not to ask, not to beg for forgiveness, not to thank, it's to adore. Kneel down and adore. That is a spirit which we must have against our narcissism, our self-absorption, which is very evil on two accounts. First of all, because it does great harm to our soul. By our self-absorption, we draw ourselves away from God. He cannot bestow on us all of the favors he wants to. He can't take care of us. He can't provide for us as his children. He says, "My glory I will not give to another." And we seek our own glory. We are seeking ourselves, and so he can't help us. So it's bad for our soul, but it's also evil because it's a blasphemy. It's a blasphemy in action, in fact, because we're robbing God of his glory. We're robbing God of his rights. To him alone be glory. He will not give his glory to another. He is the end of all things. Heaven and earth, as the Psalms tell us so many times, was created for God and God alone. And all of creation gives glory to God. And will my soul not? Who am I? When the heavens and the earth give God glory, who am I to be self-absorbed and not give God this glory? We see God is God himself. He is not self-absorbed. Yes, all things are for his glory. And yet look at him. In the mystery of the Trinity itself, what do we see? St. John tells us God is charity. And charity is a gift of self, a giving of self to someone else. And that is exactly what we see in the Trinity. Each person giving of himself so much that it constitutes another person in the Trinity. This gift of self, not self-absorbed, but going out of self. And what do we see when the Holy Trinity acts outside of itself? We see God creating goodness. Theologians tell us goodness is diffusive. It has to give. Goodness can't keep for itself. It has to give. And that's what we see God doing. He gives. He gives in creation. He gives after we have fallen by the redemption. He gives by dwelling in our souls and sanctifying us. These three works of the Trinity, the Father creating, the Son redeeming, the Holy Ghost sanctifying. The Holy Trinity goes outside itself. It is not self-absorbed. So we see that the great evil of being narcissistic, self-absorbed, concerned always about me. There's a story in the Old Testament which I think we can all take advantage of, think about on this Trinity Sunday. The patriarch Abraham, this holy and just man, he was sitting outside his tabernacle, his tent, in the desert. He was sitting by the wayside. He was waiting for travelers to come by, and commentators tell us that that's exactly why he sat there. He was waiting so that he could show hospitality to whoever was passing by. And there three men came up to him, and he invited these three men into his tent. And the liturgy tells us he saw three and adored one. Yes, these three men, they were three angels representing the three persons of the Trinity. He saw three and he adored one, the three in one. And he invited them in and he gave them his best. He took three measures of meal and made these hearth cakes for them. Then he killed the fatted calf, killed a young calf, and fed it to them. And because of this hospitality, he was blessed with his son, Isaac, the son of promise. We have to do the same as Abraham on this Trinity Sunday, going outside ourselves and adoring the Trinity, adoring the three in one as he did, seeing three persons but adoring one God, and then invite the Trinity in. Invite the Trinity to dwell with us. The Holy Trinity is present in all creation, as we know. But is he welcome in my soul, or do I keep him out? The Holy Trinity, we know, dwells in our soul when we are in grace. Do we pay attention? Do we give a good welcome to the Trinity in our soul? Are we so absorbed with ourselves that we can't even give two thoughts to him through the day? Remember, God isn't there because he gets something out of it. He is there for us. He is the guest of our soul for us. How dare we be so self-absorbed that we don't even think about him when we wake up, or throughout the day, or when we go to bed? Yes, we have to reflect on this day. Is God the first end of my life? Is he first? And if he is not, why? Why is my self-absorption getting in the way? How am I so absorbed in myself that I'm preventing God from being first? We can look to our divine model, our Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to model ourselves off of him in all things. And what do we see in him? He's the Son of God. And yet he says, I honor my Father, I seek not my own glory. He tells his apostles, my meat, my food, it's to do the will of my Father. My Father is all to me. His prayer at the Last Supper, Father, glorify thy Son, not for his own sake, but that thy Son may glorify thee. God's glory was all that the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, cared about. There was no narcissism at all in him. And this is what we must imitate. So on this day of faith and adoration, let us go outside ourselves and make real acts of adoration for the Blessed Trinity and try to gain this spirit of adoration, which is so precious and so necessary. And turn to the Blessed Mother in this. She, as one of the hymns in her honor says, she is totally divine, totus divinitus. She is enwrapped in this mystery of the Trinity, the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son of God made man, the spouse of the Holy Ghost, and completely turned outside herself, the mirror of justice, this spotless mirror reflecting God's glory alone. Let us turn to her and give to the Holy Trinity, like she does now in eternity, this praise and adoration which is due to the Holy Trinity. Come, let us adore the true God, one in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.